So, Kim, just wow, unbelievable, transforming people right here in front of our eyes. And it's crazy because we were dying in food.
If you didn't cry, I'd be disappointed.
And if it's God, you know, we don't do this stuff. It's God. And for us to show up, we isolate and we self-sabotage and self-destruct with every bite we take. But again, thank God for every beautiful bite. One less, and you guys might not be here, so woo! Thank God for the food, the greatest convincer of all. So I wish this was Brad Pitt wrapped up in a nice bow. I've heard through the rumors that Brad may be joining a 12-step room. And there's no greater person that Brad could hook up with to learn the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous.
I'll be his sponsor.
So, Kim, again, thank you so much. I hope you have safe travels home. Continue. Never stop sharing. We love hearing you. You're saving lives. And this is a gift to show our appreciation to you.
I have a meditation room. This is going to go right in my meditation room.
Yay.
Thank you
again.
Thank you. And this is, all right, so we're going to start out with some questions. I'm going to try to end by like 25 after. And what we're going to have, one more announcement.
So we are going to be passing the 7 tradition basket, so just be aware of that. Thank you very much. Bye.
The last 35 minutes, half hour, what I'm hoping is that everybody can come up who wants to share what they got out of this weekend. If there's a little tidbit, or maybe you want to share about what you're going to do on Monday. And I just want to do a little warning. I know for me personally, some of my worst binges were the day after a retreat. Because you're so high from the retreat, and when life comes back on Monday, I just remember binging my brains out. So just be aware of that and make sure that you're reaching out to your fellow compulsive overeaters for support and know that feeling is absolutely normal, okay? So let's start out with some questions. Some are dealing with multiple issues. How do you feel about multiple programs at once, AA, Al-Anon, and OA? Once again, I have no idea. I'm singly addicted, but what's wonderful is we have a lot of people in the rooms who are multiply addicted. So my suggestion is to reach out with people who have to deal with that that experience. You said there were 3 parts to step 10 because you repeat it. There's the directions, the promises, and the warnings. And it says, will there be audio recordings? And the answer is yes. And I think it's oadenver.org, am I correct?
Yeah, look for it Monday.
Look for it on Monday, which is pretty impressive. Yeah. You know, wow. And they're free, right? They're not?
Yeah. All free.
All free. How do you introduce yourself at AA meetings? I want to go, but I identify as a 12-stepper or nothing, just my name. I personally always talk to the leader of the meeting to see how they feel. Some people don't want people who are not addicted, who aren't alcoholics, to even speak in the meeting. And if that's their way of doing it, then I respect that and just stay quiet. My personal thought is I do not have a step one in AA, so I have no right to share on step one. But if we're talking about step 10, my step 10 is no different. So I identify myself as a recovered addict. I currently am going to a meeting that is not officially on the AA list yet. This guy is just kind of starting it out and seeing how it goes. And it's attracting multiple addictions, so I don't think it's ever going to go on the AA meeting. So all of us will say recovered gambler, recovered compulsive overeater, recovered heroin addict, recovered alcoholic. But that's all because if the meeting feels good about that. So it's not about how you feel about it. I would talk to the elders in that meeting and see how they feel about it personally. Let's see. How do you help someone who's been through the steps, abstinent and sponsoring, but still struggles with obsession with body image, so not feeling free and totally recovered? The steps. You know, look, take, you know, if you're, do a step 10 on it. If not, maybe pull out your whatever forms you use. Do a 4 through 9 on body image. I have to tell you, that question could have been about a child, about a mother, about a job. It's the same exact answer. We run this stuff through the steps. And once again, I mentioned from yesterday, it is a dimmer switch, not a light switch. You know, to think that we're going to recover and be okay with body image. First of all, I don't think there's anyone in America that's okay with body image. I'm sure even Jennifer Aniston has body image issues. So just understand that that's probably, you know, but take it through the steps. Can you start on steps 10, 11, 12 before finishing step 9? This was from before, so hopefully I answered that. The book says we commence this way of living as we clean up the past. So the way that I personally do it is I teach them step 9, they start making their amends, and we immediately go into the directions for step 10 and 11. Do you do a 10 step each day, and how many? I think I answered that one as well, is I had to practice that skill set a lot. I am so grateful that I don't really do a lot of 10 steps because I'm so grounded in my 11 steps. But absolutely, if something comes up, I am jumping on this step work. What's the difference between service and codependence, and how do you make sure you're being of service versus self-serving? Once again, those are kind of psychological terms. So hopefully going through this, I'm going to kind of address it. And if you need additional feedback, let me know. Because that's not really terminology that's used in the big book. Okay, so I have 2 readings to start step 12. The first one is from Bill Wilson, AA Comes of Age, page 232. It says, our single purpose. There are those who predict that AA may well become a new spearhead for a spiritual awakening throughout the world. When our friends say these things, they are both generous and sincere. But we of AA must reflect that such a tribute and such a prophecy could prove to be the heady drink for most of us. That is, if we really came to believe this is the real purpose of AA, and if we commence to behave accordingly, our society therefore will prudently cleave to its single purpose, the carrying of the message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Let us resist the proud assumption that since God has enabled us to do well in one area, we are destined to be a channel of saving grace for everybody. So once again, we're not junior therapists, we're not nutritionists, we have one single purpose. Our single purpose in the meetings is to carry the message of recovery to those who are suffering from compulsive overeating. 232 in the book AA Comes of Age. And here's another poem. It's written by Anonymous, and I will try to read it without crying. Why We Were Chosen. God in his wisdom selected this group of men and women to be purveyors of his goodness. In selecting them through whom to bring about this phenomenon, he went not to the proud, the mighty, the famous, or the brilliant. He went instead to the humble, to the sick, to the unfortunate. He went right to the drunkard, the so-called weakling of the world. Well, might he have said the following words to us. Unto your weak and feeble hands, I have entrusted a power beyond estimate. To you has been given that which has been denied the most learned of your fellows, not to scientists or statesmen, not to wives or mothers, not even to my priest or ministers have I given this gift of healing other alcoholics, which I entrust to you. It must be used unselfishly. It carries with it grave responsibility. No day can be too long. No demands upon your time can be too urgent. No case can be too pitiful, no task too hard, no effort too great. It must be used with tolerance, for I have restricted its application to no race, no creed, and no denomination. Personal criticism you must expect. Lack of appreciation will be common. Ridicule will be your lot. Your motives will be misjudged. You must be prepared for adversity. For what men call adversity is the ladder you must use to ascend the rungs towards spiritual perfection. And remember, in the exercise of this power, I shall not exact from you beyond your capabilities. You were not selected because of your exceptional talents, And be careful always, if success attends your efforts, not to ascribe to personal superiority that to which you can lay claim only by virtue of my gift. If I had wanted learned men to accomplish this mission, this power would have been entrusted to the physician and the scientist. If I had wanted eloquent men, there would have been many anxious for the assignment. For talk is the easiest use of all talents for which I have endowed mankind. If I had wanted scholarly men, the world is filled with better qualified men than you who would be available. You were selected because you have been the outcast of the world. And your long experience as drunkards has made or should make you humbly alert to the cries of distress that come from the lonely hearts of alcoholics everywhere. Keep ever in your mind the admission you made on the day of your profession in AA, namely that you are powerless, and it was only with your willingness to turn your life and your will onto my keeping that relief came to you. And I just like to say, it's like God chose broken vases to carry his water. And that's what we're here to do. Whew, so, it was, I just Googled if we were chosen in alcoholics, and I found it. Okay, so let's get into step 12. Whew. All right, so page 89. Practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. How many of you have wanted immunity from eating? Immunity. I thought, once again, maybe I can just go to bed abstinent, having beat the food for one more day. Now, this practical experience wasn't a success-only journey, right? A lot of people died. You know, I heard a historian say that he feels that AA worships the first 100 too much. That a lot of the people that deserve the credit at AA are the ones who didn't make it. Because they learned in their failures almost more than they learned in their successes. So sometimes I like to flip sentences around. Practical experience shows that those who don't work with others don't stay sober. It's as simple as that. I often hear how people say, I'm afraid to sponsor. I would be afraid not to. Because if you don't, you're going to eat again. Then we have these promises. These are the 12-step promises. Life will take on new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you. I was just talking to someone. If fellowship is going to grow up about us, we have to get in the middle of it. To have a host of friends, this is an experience you must not miss. We know that you will not want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. So for me, I have to have my hand up to those who are further along the path. I have to be shoulder and shoulder with people who are incongruent in my path, and I have to have my other hand down reaching out to the still suffering. And if I do that, I'm going to have a fellowship grow up about me. So what I often do in step 12 when I get to this point is I talk about the idea. Like, I don't even like the word sponsor, to be honest with you. It's not in the big book. It's something that grew out of the fellowship later on. Not that the word sponsor is bad. It's just my prejudices of what I thought a sponsor was. A sponsor to me was someone who took someone's food and gave them life advice. So I like the terms working with others. I work with others. I am there to teach you the steps. That's my only purpose. So I would like to say every interaction that we have with the still suffering is working with somebody. So let's back up and not just think about it who, quote unquote, our sponsees are. You know, when I go to my home group, am I arriving late and leaving early? If I'm staying late, am I only talking to my friends and not noticing that person who I don't recognize, or maybe that person I recognize who is crawling into the room one more time filled with shame and remorse and humiliation that they are back again? Biggest complaint I get in Overeaters Anonymous is no one returns my phone calls. Return phone calls. Remember how it felt when people didn't return yours. And then get quiet. Let God use your talents. If you are going to take someone through the steps, what are you going to require? We can have requirements. You know, what do you want that to look like? How many times a day, how many times a week do you want to speak with someone? Is it something daily? What kind, you know, who are you? I'm a night person. I don't sponsor in the morning. I'm not a morning person. I don't sponsor right after work because I am too busy doing everything. I'm not paying attention. I only sponsor between 9 and 10 at night. So are you a morning person, an afternoon person, and an evening person? How do you want to handle the tools? Do you want to require people to do writing, phone calls, meetings? How do you want to handle the food? Do you want to even handle the food? Do you want them to commit it through the phone, via texting, have them talk to someone else? Do you want to require them to go to a nutritionist? These are all things that we want to get quiet and see how we can carry the message. Because it says later in the book, you know, ask them if they're willing to go to any length. And I mentioned this at one of the meals this weekend. If you ask anybody who's been in a 12-step program that, they're going to say yes until the first thing you ask them to do. So what I want you want to do is give them a realistic idea. This is what I require. Are you willing to do that? Let them make an educated decision of whether they're going to work with you. And remember, they're scared. So they might have to review that information. If they're not committing, let's say if they're not committing their food, okay, let's go over this again. Remember you said you were going to commit your food every day. You're not making your phone calls. Remember, part of working with me is you're going to make your phone calls or whatever that is for you. One of the beautiful things I see, and I think most people will sponsor like they were sponsored, is just the comfort level. But I love to see how my sponsees start sponsoring differently as they're feeling more comfortable with their higher power. So I encourage that. Because you see, the more diverse we are as a fellowship, the more people we can help. If we all sponsored exactly alike, then we're going to be in this little like section where we only can help people who need it to be sponsored exactly that way. So challenge yourself. Ask God into your talents. How can I be useful to the still suffering compulsive overeater? So the first few pages of this chapter is going to talk a lot about how you can find this alcoholic. Because remember, when this was written, there wasn't a fellowship. So the assumption was you're going to get this book, you're going to work through the book yourself, and then you're going to go out and try to find people. So you're going to be going to ministers and doctors and family members and try to find people. We can just go to any Overeaters Anonymous meeting. For those of you who listen to Vision for You, I always tell people the laziest way to get a sponsee is share in that second unrecorded hour and then give your name out as a sponsor. Don't just give your name out as a sponsor because you're just a voice out there. But if you share and then the people hear you give out your number, get ready. And I often tell my sponsees, you know, grab 3 to 5 people, ask if you can take them through the doctor's opinion. And that seems terrifying, right? You're lucky if one of them calls you. That's last paragraph on page 89. Perhaps you're not acquainted with any drinkers who want to recover. I'm acquainted with a lot of compulsive overeaters. I'm not acquainted with a lot of compulsive overeaters who want to recover. I know a lot of them that are just comfortable suffering in the rooms. A lot of them who just want to do the tools. A lot of them who want to diet with group support. So even though it seems like, oh, there's a lot of people I can work with, it's hard. You are going to have to approach people and see who's willing to do this work. So the technique that we're going to look at is the technique that we're going to use in the rooms, even though so we're not having to go out and find them. And I do recommend, do not go into a 7-Eleven or a McDonald's and try to grab someone out of line. Okay, not the easiest thing to do. And just to tell you like how God, I always think it was funny. There was a girl that I worked with that gave her name out on the Vision for You line, and she got 9 phone calls. And she called me, and I thought, oh, man, I'm going to have to, like, talk this girl down. And she's like, okay, Kim, this is what I got it taken care of. She's like, I got a phone bridge. I'm going to take them all through the steps together. We'll see how many are left in step 4, take their 5, and keep going. And I'm like, okay. But then I remembered, she's a corporate trainer. Of course that's what she would do. You know what I mean? And that's why I say God's going to use our individual talents. So if you look at the top of page 90, and once again, I'm sorry, but I'm just going to pick sentences out so you're going to have a hard time figuring it out. Second line, if he does not want to stop drinking, don't waste time trying to persuade him. If someone does not want to stop eating, my job is to leave him alone. The food's job is to convince them. And if I start badgering people, when the food has done their job, they're not going to feel comfortable approaching me. I can tell you that from personal experience, because I knocked people over the head with the Big Book when I first recovered, and nobody took me seriously because for 17 years I was in and out of relapse, whatever was going on. I am a good speaker in relapse. Believe me, and I heard a lot of people in OA, and I'm part of my amends is to use God's talents in recovery, because I heard a lot of people. It talks about finding out their religious leanings, finding out information on them. So for me personally, have that general conversation. Are they brand new to OA? Have they been around for 15, 20 years? Are they coming from the obesity side, the bulimic side, the anorexic side, the yo-yo dieter side? I cannot believe I'm saying this. I am so grateful because I have stories for all of them. And I'm not going to tell the 22-year-old anorexic what it's like to be morbidly obese. And I'm not going to tell the morbidly obese person how when I was underweight they wouldn't let me give blood because I didn't weigh enough. I learned this information so I know how to approach them better. I find out what are their religious leanings. Are they coming from the atheistic side, the agnostic side, or do they have a specific religion? And I just engage them in a general conversation. Now, here's something that directly, contradicted what I thought. In that second paragraph, wait for the end of a spree or lucid interval. And on the next page, it says, call on him when he is still jittery. He may be more receptive when depressed. I always thought, oh, no, I'm not talking to someone while they're still eating. That's wrong. When were you most scared? When you were coming off a run, right? That's one of the reasons I love my home group. It's Sunday morning. And all those people that were binging Saturday night come in the room. And this is just my observation. In AA, when you go to a meeting, you can tell the newcomers because they're jittery and they're moving like this and they can't keep still and they're spilling their coffee and they're spilling their donuts and da da da. I can tell the newcomers in OA. They're burping. They're farting. They can't stay awake. Those are the ones that I'm approaching. That's when they're going to be most desperate because they're feeling it. I hear it all the time in AA. We don't really have a lot of rehabs in food anymore, so I more think of it. The AA guys go into the rehabs. They don't wait till the guy's 28 days sober. Their wife's letting them back in the house. Their employer maybe let them go back to work. They don't need God. They don't need a sponsor. They don't need those steps. You know when they need them? When they're still shaking at day 2. And they're willing to say everything. So for my home group, again, we have a step 1 meeting after our home group. And we take everyone through that doctor's opinion or whatever people want to do to try to get them caught while they're scared. And it says in here, ask his friend, but we're going to ask them, if he wants to quit for good and if he would go to any extreme to do so. Once again, be clear on what you offer with the sponsoring. And are you done? Not are you willing to put the food down today and have a bagel tomorrow. Are you done? Now what you're going to have to do is keep the food down one day at a time. But if you're still thinking that tomorrow you can have something, you're not ready to do this program. Okay, page 91, that last full paragraph, somewhere in the middle. Give them a sketch of your drinking up to the time you quit. This really changed how I carried the message as well. When I would give a newcomer's meeting or I would give tell my story, I would say, hey, I'm a 51-year-old woman. I've never been married. I don't have children. I went through 12 years of Catholic school, oldest of 3 kids. I have a master's in accounting. How many people can relate into that? I've eliminated 98% of the room. I'm supposed to be a sketch of my drinking. If I talk about deciding to have one slice of pizza and putting the rest in the refrigerator and getting up 2 o'clock in the morning because I have to eat the rest of it, if I talk about getting to goal weight and then making that exception and within 2 months gaining all that weight back, how many people can relate to that? We're supposed to be talking about our eating. You always hear that line, find someone who has what you want and ask him or she how she's achieving it. I just looked for the skinniest girl with a cute boyfriend. Like, that's what I wanted. So let's go back to page 18. 18 tells me, what am I looking for in a sponsor? It is third paragraph down. But the ex-problem drinker who has found the solution, who is properly armed with facts about himself, can genuinely win the confidence of another alcoholic in a few hours. Until such an understanding is reached, little or nothing can be accomplished. That this man who is making the approach has had the same difficulty, that he obviously knows what he is talking about, that his whole deportment shouts at the new prospect he has a real answer, that he has no attitude of holier than thou, nothing except his sincere desire to be helpful. That to me is a beautiful description of a sponsor. Thank God I don't have to relate into my sponsees, because I don't know how I'd find other 50-year-old women who've never been married, who don't have kids, who went to 12 years of Catholic school. What I sponsor are people who have the allergy to the body and the mental obsession, and I can teach them the 12 steps to freedom. It talks about a 92. How do we do that? How do we give them a sketch of our drinking? Describe myself as an alcoholic. Talk how I was baffled. Talk about my struggles to stop. That mental twist, that mental inconsistencies. The hopeless feature of the malady, the queer mental condition on the first drink. Explain that he is doomed who never realized his predicament. It talks about doctors are loath to tell an alcoholic patient the whole story unless it serves some good purpose. See, I can do that. I can tell you how you're doomed because I'm not going to leave you there. Like I said, when I was banging people over with the big book, my home group used to call me Barbara Walters because I wasn't happy unless somebody was crying. Because I understood that was what's going to... That step one is disgusting. It's snotty-nosed. It's desperate. But once again, if you're recovered, you're not leaving someone there. It's not mean to tell someone the truth about our disease. Don't worry, honey. We'll love you till you love yourself. Keep coming back. It works when you work it. Who knows if that person's going to be able to make it back? Why don't you ask them to stay? You know, I think to myself, I heard someone say, I'd much rather hurt your feelings and give you the chance to recover than to be told you thought I was a nice person at your funeral. I'm willing to not be liked today. And I do that pretty well, actually. Then it talks about, though your protege may not even entirely admitted his condition, he has become very curious to know how you got well. Let him ask you that question, if he will, and tell him exactly what happened to you. So the approach is problem, 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 problem. And when they ask, how did you escape? That's when you talk about a spiritual solution. I used to talk to newcomers about the fourth step and the ninth step and sponsoring, and they're like, I just need to lose 30 pounds. They don't care about the steps. That's why step one is so essential. And then you talk about it freely. But it does warn us to use everyday language. Whatever God you have, whatever language you use for God, the first time I had a real agnostic, she schooled me good. And I often will only use the word power. Because that word God, I said, and it's not even the atheists, it's a lot of the religious people. It has such a specific meaning to them that they're scared of. You know, Sandy Beats is just one of my favorite AA speakers, and I love, he said this, and this is my experience too. He said that he grew up Catholic, and he would sit in the pew with his sister, and he would look at that crucifix, and his sister would think, look what Jesus did for me. Look what he was willing to do because he loved me so much. And he said, he looked at that cross and said, if that's what God's going to do to his only son, what the hell is he going to do to me? And that was me. That's how I took it in. It's not what the Catholic Church said. It's what I heard. So I had to, that word God scared the heck out of me. I believed in God, and I did everything I could to hide from him because I knew that I was going to be damned to hell for things that I'd done. So I try to use that word power in a very general way, and when their language changes, I might start using my language a little bit differently. But it's not based on my comfortability with the word God. It's based on their comfortability with the word God. Okay, so if we go to page 94, that first full paragraph, towards the end of that paragraph. If your talk has been sane, quiet, and full of human understanding, you have perhaps made a friend. Maybe you have disturbed him about the question of alcohol. This is all to the good. The more hopeless he feels, the better. He'll be more likely to follow your suggestions. So our job is to disturb people. Now, this is where we get ego, at least me, ego-driven, my sponsee, my sponsor, my home group, and we get invested in like that. We are a fellowship of we. Whether or not that person recovers with me is none of my damn business. You know, I'm there to carry that message, and if they have to go to another teacher or they have to go through a relapse, I'm just there to help disturb them. And this is telling me that it's more to the good. I told this story earlier, but I remember being at a meeting, and I was talking with someone after, and I was telling them all the foods that I binge on. And that person said to me, "Did you ever notice all those foods have flour in it?" And I wanted to bitch slap the person. I was so bad. But it was the person that taught me about the allergy. I don't even know who that person is. I was so angry, the face is just like this blob in front of me. That person saved my life, and we'll never know it. If we are carrying this message, if we are living the big book, we don't know who we're going to affect. And it's really none of our darn business who we affect. Okay, so on page 95, once again, I love the word if. People say, well, what do I do if this happens, or if this happens to the sponsor? There's three beautiful examples it gives us. So it says, if he is not interested in your solution, what does that mean? Maybe they just want a diet buddy. Maybe they just want someone to cry to at night because their husband was mean to them, or they're looking for advice on how to handle their divorce or their problems at work. I'm very clear. I am not here as your friend. I'm not here as your psychiatrist. If that's what you're looking for, I'm sorry, I don't offer that. Now, once again, I remember hearing on this phone line again, someone sharing, yeah, I'll tell you, my sponsor, she is so not warm and fuzzy. And I'm like, I know I'm not, but it was funny to hear it on the line. And I'm like, okay, I get it, I'm not warm and fuzzy. But you know what, maybe you are. And that's why I'm saying that the more diversity we have, the person who needs the warm and fuzzy sponsor is not going to be asking me to sponsor them. So I'm not saying don't do that, but understand who you are. You know, the next one, if he is sincerely interested, if he wants the steps, I'll go to any length to help you out. But I'm not going to push or prod either. And it's so easy with technology to push or prod. You know, why aren't you calling me? Why aren't you calling me? We had an appointment. I don't follow up. Now, when I get into, I'll give you another funny thing. My God curses again. I'm doing some 11-step work at night, and I'm thinking of all the people I work with who relapse and who I don't know what's going on, and I'm trying to name all their names to bring them into my 11-step prayer, and all of a sudden I hear, Kim, I fucking know their names. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And what I did was, and I don't know why it came up again, is I just went into Pandora, and I brought up the Willie Nelson song, All the Girls I Loved Before. And sometimes I'll play that song for all the people I sponsored before who've come in and out my door. I'm glad they came along. Because it's not my business at that point. You know, I'm there and I'm not going to push your pride. But if you're doing the work, awesome. If I start working harder than you, we're going to have a conversation. And then the last one, if he thinks he can do the job in some other way, we have no monopoly on God. My God is so much bigger than this first 164 pages. So if someone wants to pursue it through a church, if someone wants to pursue it through something they buy at Barnes & Noble, if they want to pursue it through any other way, I encourage them to do that. Once again, it talks about in the back on 164, I cannot transmit something I haven't got. I have to be humble enough to know I cannot take you through the OA 12 and 12. It did not work for me. And I feel it's my responsibility to know people in a way who the 12 and 12 works for them and get them hooked up. People can recover through all the other Overeaters Anonymous books and AA 12 and 12 and other books. I can't transmit it because I got recovered through the big book. And if that's what you want, awesome. If you want to pursue it another way, let me help you find somebody. And please call me back and tell me how that works for you. I'd love to hear about your spiritual experience. Okay. Page 96, top of it, do not be discouraged if your prospect does not respond at once. Why do you think they wrote that? Because a lot of them got discouraged because people did not respond at once. It says, search out another alcoholic and try again. You are sure to find someone desperate enough to accept with eagerness what you have to offer. Once again, I want to tell you my opinion. I see so many people who are working with the same sponsees who've been in relapse for 4 years. Are you really being useful to that person? Now, if there's enough sponsors for everybody in that room, maybe I'd feel a little differently. But how many times are you in a room when people say how many sponsors are available and there's no hands up because everybody's working with people who are in relapse? Or, to the other extreme, they have three sponsees who have all recovered in 10, 11, and 12. If your sponsees are all in 10, 11, and 12, I'm going to challenge you to think about it. Are you really doing the step work anymore? I do not work steps 1, 2, and 3 on a daily basis. What I do is I teach steps 1, 2, and 3 on a daily basis. I can't remember that I'm powerless, but when I'm teaching someone the doctor's opinion, I'm having to use my own stories to describe the allergy of the body, obsession of the mind, I'm reminded that I'm powerless. When I'm teaching someone we agnostics and I'm using my own story to show how much I needed a power, I'm reinforcing I needed a power. I need to work with others because that's the way that I work the steps today. If we were a healthier fellowship, maybe I'd feel a little bit differently. But if someone is not willing to do the work, not willing to put the food down, and there's six or seven people behind them, how are we really being helpful to Overeaters Anonymous as a whole? So it's just something to think about. And if you hate me, feel free to text me. Okay. Let's go to the top of page 97. Never avoid these responsibilities, but be sure you are doing the right thing if you assume them. Helping others is the foundation stone of our recovery. A kindly act once in a while isn't enough. A friend of mine says that she is divinely inconvenienced on a daily basis. If sponsoring is comfortable, I'm probably not doing enough. There are so many people suffering in these rooms. Am I willing to, and once again, expand that. If someone is so confused about abstinence, that allergy, you don't have to offer to take them through the steps. Offer after a meeting to take them through the doctor's opinion. If someone is confused about step 4, stay after a meeting and give them some examples of your step 4. If someone is recovered and is restless and irritable, discontent, sit down, discuss what your 10 and 11 looks like so they can get a refresher of what 10 and 11 looks like. It's not convenient. I can't tell me how many times I think to myself, if only I didn't have a sponsee phone call tonight. And I can't even tell you, I can tell you exactly how many times I've gotten off that phone call and been, that wasn't worth it. Zero. Zero. I heard a speaker say recently, when you say work the steps, the work is step 12. The preparation is step 1 through 11. Okay, so let's go to page 98. It is not the matter of giving. I'm going to end with this because I want to make sure we give time. It is not the matter of giving that is in question, but when and how to give. That often makes the difference between failure and success. The minute we put our work on a service plane, the alcoholic commences to rely upon our assistance rather than upon God. And I remember when I first heard that, it made no sense to me because isn't step 12 service? What this is talking about is if I'm playing God, and which to me personally is why I don't talk to people every day, because when I talk to a sponsor every day, I could not make a decision until I talked to my sponsor every single night. I became sponsor dependent versus God dependent. I hope for those of you who've heard this story, I'm sorry, but I often use this story. I was 17 years old, got my driver's license. I had it for about 2 months. I worked in a mall, and I went out to my car, and I had a flat tire. And I called my dad, and this is the 80s. Remember those Gunny Sacks prairie dresses? Anyone remember those pretty little prairie dresses? So I was wearing that, and my dad came out, and it was pouring rain, and he held the umbrella above my head while I changed the tire. And I was so pissed off and so angry. And we got home, and I just started yelling at him. And my dad, like I said, my dad's this Marine, and he just waited till my rant was over and cocked his head to the side and said, Kim, My job as a father is to become unnecessary. My job as a sponsor is to become unnecessary. Thank God that when Ebby came to Bill in December of 1934, he taught him that. Because over the summer of 1935, when Bill and Bob were together, he got a telegram from Lois saying that Ebby drank. If Bill was taught that his sobriety was dependent on Ebby, we would not be here together today. So many of the people that have affected me are not sober or abstinent today. So many of the people that are mentors in my life, their sponsors are dead because of this disease or alcoholism or drug addiction. If I cannot hang my star on any specific person, that's why I need a village. That 10-step group I have, who knows who's going to go into relapse? That I always feel sad when people call me because their sponsor relapsed and they have no other network. They don't know who else to call because their whole entire program was based on one person. So I'm going to end with this. A little boy saw a sign in town that said that the circus is coming to town, and he's never seen a circus. So he went to his dad and said, "Daddy, Daddy, can I please go to the circus this weekend?" And he said, "Well, son, if you do all your chores on Friday, you can go to the circus." So he did all his chores, and his dad gave him a dollar. And he went into town, and there was this big parade. And he saw things he's never seen before. He saw men sawing swords. He saw people eating fire. He saw giraffes and elephants and lions and tigers. And at the end of it were all these clowns coming out of a car. Millions, felt like millions of them. And he's laughing and he's excited. And at the end, the last clown tips his hat to the little boy. And the little boy puts his dollar in the hat and goes home. He doesn't realize he didn't ever went to the circus. All he saw was the parade. What you're at right now is the parade. The circus, the big top, is the 12 steps. It's working those steps. It's working with others. Don't let your program be podcasts and retreats and speakers. Go under the big top and start working this program and helping the next suffering alcoholic. And with that, I pass. Woo!